Thanks again to everyone else that's helped us open the meeting by reading. And I'll take this opportunity to welcome those that have joined us since we first started. Warm welcome to any visitors and a huge welcome to anyone that might, a massive welcome to anybody that might be new to Narcotics Anonymous tonight, this evening, whatever time of day it is, wherever you are. We hope you're going to hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. Okay, like I said at the beginning, we do have a speaker tonight. I'm delighted to say they're going to share their experience, strength, and hope with us. For the next 40, 45 minutes, whatever they're comfortable with, their journey to, into, and through Narcotics Anonymous. So I'm going to hand you over to the lovely Helene, who's going to introduce them. So, Helene, over to you.
Thank
Thank
you,
you.
Steve. Thank you. Hi, everybody. I'm Ellen. I'm an addict.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi. So good to be here. I'm so happy to be introducing the speaker. I heard him share only like this week, and I heard, I heard, the message of recovery. I heard a strong message of recovery, and I was gonna contact him today to book, for a day to come, and turned out that the day to come had to be today. And so his willingness made it that he's coming to share with us on very short notice. But I'm so looking forward to his share. So Jorge, without any further ado, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you, Helen. George, over to you. Just
Hello, everybody. My name is Jorge. I'm an addict. I
hi,
hey,
Jorge.
Jorge. Welcome.
Jorge.
I'm gonna start by admitting that I am both nervous and excited to do this. I have I you know we everybody was chatting before the meeting started, and I said that I invited my sponsor and my daughter. I noticed that my sponsor is here to support me, and Victor, I love you. One thing about my sponsor is that I heard in the very early stages of my recovery that if you don't have the best sponsor in the world, get a different sponsor. And I'm going to say that I didn't pick my sponsor because I thought he was the best sponsor in the world. I didn't know anything about my sponsor when I asked him to sponsor me, other than he said one thing at one meeting. I'd heard him speak. I'd heard him share at a couple meetings prior to this, but at one particular meeting, I heard him say something that really resonated with me, and I thought he's the one. And that was a little over 6 years ago, and I've done a round of steps with him. I'm on my second round of steps, and what I've so we've learned about each other, right? We've learned some things about each other, and one of the main things I've learned is that I do, in fact, have the best sponsor in the world for me. I know this because I've shared some things with him, and I've never heard those things outside of just me and him. There was a period of time where I worked alongside his wife. I never heard anything I said to my sponsor come out of her mouth. I've gone to I don't know how many meetings. I've never heard anything I've shared with my sponsor spoken about in those meetings. And that kind of segues into something else. I just lost my train of thought. The trust, that's what I was going to say, trust. I didn't ask him to sponsor me because I could trust him. I've learned to trust him. How did I do that? I had to take a chance, right? And that's something, taking a chance is something I thought I learned in Narcotics Anonymous, but the longer I've been a part of this fellowship, the more I've learned, the more I've heard other people share, taking a risk is nothing new. to this addict, and I'm sure a lot of you can relate, right? It's like we took a risk every time we did dope, right? Whatever your drug was, we took a chance. You know, whether it was getting behind the wheel, whether it was parenting, whether it was just doing the dope itself, you know, we took a chance, we took a risk. And so I've come to learn that taking risks was not something new to me. The difference is today I do it consciously. Today I pick the risks I want to take. I don't let the drug choose for me. And at the same time, I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna say this. Well, let me just say it. Let me just say it. Okay, so I was asked to share my experience, strength, and hope in this meeting, and I agreed. And then the voices in my head started, right? You're not good enough. What do you have to share? You're only 6 years in recovery. You barely have any, you know, all the voices that start telling me I'm not enough. I can't do it. And so I called my sponsor and I said, "Hey, I have a question for you. Do you believe?" And I knew the answer as I knew his answer as I was asking it, but I had to hear him say it. I said, "Do you believe that the speaker of a, of that a, that a speaker should have a working knowledge of the program?" And he said, "Yeah." And let me tell you why my sponsor is a jerk, because and I say that jokingly, okay, but this is what happens. So then my next was, "Do you think I have a working knowledge of the program?" And this asshole hesitated. And he said yes. And so we kind of laughed about that. I called him out about it a little bit, and we laughed about it. And then just now I heard something. As the host was getting ready to introduce me, he said, and this is not an exact quote, but he says something along the lines of, "Hopefully you hear something that keeps you coming back." That's a lot of pressure for this crackhead. Because just, you know, just an hour ago, my mind was telling me I'm not enough. I don't have enough experience, strength, and hope. I can't do this. So that's a lot of pressure for me, but here's the other thing, you know, Helen said that, she mentioned that, you know, it was short notice for me this morning, and that's true. That's a fact. And something I was thinking about as the meeting was getting ready to begin, is that that's not something new to me either. So like I said, you know, I was nervous to do this. I didn't, I was doubting myself. And but something I've learned, I listened to a lot of speakers on and a lot of Narcotics Anonymous speakers on Spotify, and something that I hear a lot is that when you're asked to share, you should do it. We if we have any sense of recovery, there is we have a responsibility to share when we're asked to share. You know, the pressure and the responsibility, that's nothing new to me either. You know, I went back to again, this is now I'm talking about, right before the meeting started. I went in my mind, I went back to when I was a kid. I'm almost 50 years old. I'm gonna be 50 years old this year. But I went back to a young teenager in my mind, and back to when I was gang banging. I'm a former gang member, and there would be times at a moment's notice. One of the older guys, we call them OGs over here. One of the OGs would say, "You, or you, or you, or you, you and you go do this." And let me assure you, when they said go do this, it was nothing that was going to benefit the community, right? It was either go cause property some harm or go cause some people some harm. It was never something that was going to benefit the community. It was only going to benefit the gang, and not even myself. It might have given built up my name within the gang. You know what I mean? But that was it. And something I've learned throughout my own recovery the past 6 years is that I tend to live my recovery the same way I lived my active addiction, just opposite. And now, Narcotics Anonymous asked me to share. So what I equate that to is the gang asking me to do some dirt. Narcotics Anonymous is my game today. Sharing is my quote unquote dirt that I'm asked to do. And now, the difference is, I'm not doing it to build up my own name. I'm doing it to hopefully inspire some hope in somebody. Whether or not I'm able to do that, I don't know. That's up to God. And so that's a whole nother thing, God. I want to be clear that I tend to talk a lot about Jesus, and when I do, I'm not trying to convert nobody. I'm just talking about me, my beliefs, and one thing I know is that it's read at the beginning of meetings. One thing that will defeat us in our recovery is an attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. And something that comes up from time to time, whether it's a physical meeting here at home or a Zoom platform, I'll have to remind somebody that, if your indifference or intolerance towards my spiritual principles, I promise you, will defeat you in your recovery before it defeats me in mine. So again, if you hear me say that name, I'm not getting religious on you. I'm not trying to impose my beliefs on you. I'm just telling you, I was asked to share my experience, strength, and hope. So if you hear that name, that's part of my experience, part of my strength, all of my strength. Let me say that. That's all of my strength and all of my hope. So if you got a problem with it, talk to Helen, because she's the one that invited me. So anyway, and sorry to throw you under the bus, Helen, but I hope you know I mean that with love, and it's like half serious, half joke. Okay, so I don't really know. I don't really know what to say. Like I said, I've been doing this recovery thing for almost 6.5 years. I woke up this morning. So Helen had asked me to share, and like I said, I wasn't expecting to do it today. And so when I woke up this morning, so over here in the States, it is 10:20 in the morning. And I woke up flustered because I do this thing where I do homeless outreach here in this little city I'm in, and I do it at night, and sometimes it gets to be pretty late at night when I get home. And I got home last night at j it was just after 1 o'clock in the morning, and then I got to wind down, because when I'm out on the street, I'm wired, I'm amped, and so I got to come home and just it's like coming home from work. I got to cool down, I got to wind down, and I don't go to bed right away, so it's probably close to 3 o'clock in the morning when I go to bed. And then I got three dogs that they're on a schedule, man. 5 o'clock is feeding time, and 5:01, like I might as well it might as well be next week, and they haven't eaten, right? Anybody with dogs, you guys know what it's like. So 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm asking them to please just give me 5 more minutes, mom. 5 more minutes, mom. And that's what it feels like. And so, I wake up and I feed the dogs. It's probably 5:45. They're mad at me. I'm groggy. I haven't checked my phone. I finally get around to checking my phone, and there's a message. Hey, can you do it today? I'm like, oh crap. And I feel that responsibility, and so I start scrambling, and now I'm thinking I got to get to my folks' house because I can use their computers, so I can have a camera so you guys can see my face. And then Helen's like, no, it's all good, we don't do cameras. And I'm like, oh cool. So I one less bit of pressure. So here I am doing some service, and I don't know what to say. I feel that service is, well, it's in our literature, right? Service is a big part of recovery. And and something my sponsor says, in fact, he just said it last night at a meeting last night, about staying connected. And I don't know what it is about me. He likes to use this analogy where, if you unplug a fridge, the food inside, it stays good for a little while, but eventually it rots, and me, like if I'm that fridge, I stay connected just long enough, and then I disconnect, and then I connect back in just long enough, and then I disconnect. And before I say what I'm gonna say next, I'm gonna say this. I suggest not doing recovery the way I do recovery, because it might get you loaded. But this is my experience. This is how I do it. I tend to steer clear of fellowship. I'll hang out after a meeting for a few minutes, and I'll talk to people. But I try to arrive at a meeting just as it's starting to minimize that before the meeting. There's some meetings where I'm able to sit away from people. I always do, given the opportunity. There's a big convention going on here in Washington State. It's coming up, I think it's this week. It's called Clean and Free, and I just commented this morning on I think it was my sponsor's post. I said, I'm excited about it. I've never been to this convention. I'm not going this year, but I said I'm excited about it because that's going to take a whole bunch of people out of town. It's hard for me to be connected with people. And I haven't got I haven't forgotten that I'm bringing this back to service, right? And so so something I have steered clear of is service within the Narcotics Anonymous program. And I hate saying that out loud because a lot of times when I hear people talking about service within NA, I hear give back to the program that gave you life. And I believe that the part about how this program gave me life, I believe it so much, I'm getting emotional just talking about it. Just thinking about it makes me emotional. This program did give me life. It gave me a life beyond my wildest dreams. But it's been really hard for me to want to do service within the program because that means connection. And so I do this street outreach, right? Which is not affiliated with Narcotics Anonymous in any way, but it's my form of service. So finally, after 6 years of being a part of this fellowship, being an active member of this fellowship in my area, I have finally decided to get involved with service within the program. And so I'm going to be a part of, I'm not sure exactly when it starts. I did the orientation already, but I'm going to be doing the phone line. And the reason is because it's the same reason that I hear people getting into H&I, because they were in an institution and H&I came in and it touched them, it moved them. And I'm fortunate enough that years of gang banging, years of active drug use, I can still legally carry a firearm. I always say I've never been to jail for real. I've been to jail twice in my entire life, and both times it was just for a few hours. One time it was in a little tiny town with the whole entire jail had two cells, and they were one man cells. So I've never been to prison. I've been to jail a little bit, and so I don't know about H&I. I mean, I know about it. Obviously, I know about it, but I've never experienced it from the inside. My sponsor does a lot of it, and I've never asked to be a part of it. But the phone line is what touched me is the phone line is what moved me. I never used it for myself, but one day, not too long ago, somebody halfway across the country reached out to me because of this outreach that I do. I call it a ministry. They reached out to me and they said, "Hey," they were in Kansas, and they said, "Hey, I need help. I'm about to relapse and I don't know what to do." So I found the phone line, the NA phone line for Kansas, and I used it and I got this person connected with Narcotics Anonymous in their area. And so after that, I thought, that's what I want to do. It's going to allow me to do service while keeping connection at a minimum. Right? I'm not going to be required, rather, to pick people up. I'm not going to be required to do anything, but to find them a meeting in their area. And I'm with that because I get to be of service to the program that gave me life. I get to help the addict who is suffering. And speaking of the addict who is suffering, I know today that the addict who suffers, like we have that moment of silence for the addict who suffers, right? Who still suffers. And a lot of times I hear both inside and outside the rooms. And today I know that the addict who's suffering can have multiple years of recovery. There's we've had some deaths in our community recently, and there's been several addicts with several years of recovery who have been suffering because of these deaths. Currently, there is an addict that I don't want to say this out loud because my sponsor's listening and he don't like her, but this is a woman that I've been in love with for 6 years, and she has recently, she's not a part of the fellowship, but she was clean for a while. I don't know, 5 or 7 years, something like that. And she's recently gone back out. And so this moment of silence for the addict who still suffers, man, it means a lot, and I heard fairly recently, I was again listening to some speakers on Spotify, and I heard, that moment is important. Because all of us were prayed into the rooms, whether it was by the fellowship, whether it was by our loved ones, all of us were prayed into the rooms. And man, that hit home when I heard it, because with this friend of mine that is relapsing. Even the people I serve out on the street, because most of them are actively using, and I say it all the time, I wish I could just shake some sense into them, I wish I could just smack them and make them start thinking right, and I think how often did my mom, my sister, my daughter, my ex-wife, we were married at the time. How many times did they want to just shake some sense into me? All they could do was pray for me, and so today I know that that's not only the only real thing that I can do for the addict who's suffering, but it's very probably the most powerful thing I can do. It's just pray that the addict that's still suffering, the suffering will end for him. Whatever that looks like, whatever that end looks like, unfortunately for some, it looks like what our literature says. It looks like death. For some, it looks like institutions, which can be a catalyst to recovery. And for some of us, it can look like finding the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm really grateful that those of us that have found the rooms have found the rooms. I'm grateful for the people that found the rooms before me, like my sponsor, so that not to throw him under the bus with his with what he's been going through, but like I said, we've lost some people in our community, and a couple of these people that he was really close to, and fortunately for myself, I've not lost anybody. Sorry, I think I just glitched out.
You're
Anyway,
good,
I was
brother.
saying, can you guys hear me okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, I was saying, because my sponsor and other people have gone through what they've gone through recently, because I know loss, death is inevitable, right? None of us are gonna It's not very likely any of us are going to leave this planet alive. So I know it's inevitable. So I know that because I've watched some people close to me go through it, I know what to do when I do experience it. So that's why I'm grateful for the people that came in before me, our predecessors, as it's said. Because I know what to do. I mean, when it happens, and I'm not just talking about losing people to death. I'm talking about let me use an example I'm currently experiencing right now. Excuse me. I am very close to there's a very good possibility I'm going to lose my house. Which means me and my dogs are going to be living in my car if that happens. That's gonna suck. The last time that happened to me, I was doing dope. And it was because I was doing dope that it happened, right? But today, because of people that have gone before me in recovery, I know what to do. Like I've been going to meetings, I've been sharing about it. I've heard other people talk about experiencing homelessness while in recovery. And that's not sharing about it, continuing in my recovery, that's not going to magically give me another place to live, right? But it's what it will do is it'll provide me an outlet. So when I'm upset, I can talk about it. I can go to that safe room and I can talk about it rather than bottle it up, which will eventually it will lead this drug addict back to using if I just bottle it up. Because one thing I know is that the disease that we share, the disease of addiction, is cunning. And if I keep secrets, then the disease of addiction will use those secrets against me, and it's only a matter of time before I end up using again. And that's just something I don't want. I was out doing my outreach last night, like I said, and I was talking to an addict who's still using, and she said, "Well, you're clean now, so you'll just how to live like this forever." And I said, "I don't know about all that." I told her, I'm gonna be 50 years old. I've only got 4 years clean, or excuse me, I've only got 6 years clean." I said, "I barely have right now at my age as much clean time as I ever did before I started using." And if you're not real good at math, I'll tell you, I started using when I was about 6 years old. So knowing how to live the rest of my life clean, I don't know about all that. I know how to live today clean. And that's a scary and humbling thought for me. I'm grateful that this is a day at a time, just for today program. I When I heard those three words when I first came into the program just for today, man, it was like, I don't know, it was like caveman discovering fire. You know, it was just like mind-blowing for me. I thought, oh, I don't have to stay clean for the rest of my life. I just need to stay clean today. I just gotta try to stay clean for today. And then it was broken down even further for me, you know, because I'm one of my favorite speakers. He says that he came into the program a pseudo intellectual. That was me. And I've come to find out that I am not intellectual. I am a very simple man, simple minded. And so things need to get broken down for me, and then broken down again, and then broken down again. And eventually, I'm just going to admit to you, look, man, I know I'm almost 50, but please just talk to me like I'm five. And so it was the just for today was broken down even more. Just you're clean now at this meeting, stay clean until the next meeting. And at the time, there was, you know, two, sometimes three meetings a day in my area. So it was easier, you know. And after COVID, some things have changed, but my recovery has grown. And so the addict that's just coming into the rooms today, you know, it might be a little tougher to stay clean from meeting to meeting, but you know, that's why I said at the beginning, you know, don't do recovery like I do, and not connect with other people. If you're new to the program, please connect with people, because it's let me rephrase that. Connect with recovering addicts. And if you're a newcomer, don't connect with other newcomers. Because one thing I was told when I came into the program is, you know, what does a newcomer know how to do? Get loaded. When you get a bunch of newcomers together, all they know is to get loaded. So if you're new, you know, get with somebody that has recovery. Stick with the winners. That's what I was told. Stick with the winners. And go to meetings, because you know what they say, meeting makers make it. Yeah, man. I'm not sure how long I've been talking, but I think that's about all I have. You know, I want to thank you guys again for having me. Hopefully I did say something that that helped you. And that's all I have. Thank you.